Hello and welcome to the June 2013 episode of The President's Perspective. It's a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. On today's program, the student body at A&M Commerce may not fit preconceived notions about college kids. We'll talk briefly about some demographic data when we look at who is going off to school and graduating from our various campuses each fall and spring. But first, the 83rd regular session of the Texas Legislature is wrapped and the first special session has begun. For all the well-documented triumphs so far, there have also been a few hiccups, especially for higher education. Dr. Jones, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Jared. It's great to be here.
So things may not be as rosy as some media reports may put out, but at the same time, there's some light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, absolutely. The difference between the 83rd and the 82nd session is day and night. This session, there was more money in play, so obviously everyone was in a better mood. There's always more need than there is funding, regardless of, you know, the financial circumstances overall. But last time around, we were strictly in stop-loss mode. We were trying to hold harmless, stay even best we could, and we were in, because of our growth, we were in pretty strong shape overall. So we weathered that storm in reasonably good shape. We had to do very few layoffs. I think we ended up with a total of about 23 staff layoffs. Only about four of those were real layoffs. The others were just vacant positions that were eliminated.
Right.
So
unfilled.
Unfilled. So we managed to handle the contraction largely through retirement, attrition, and that sort of thing. Through it all, we've maintained a merit pool for our faculty and staff. Very important for morale and also just for equity. You know, we've got hardworking people here, and they deserve it.
And I think you indicated that'll be the 10th consecutive year.
Yes.
Which is not an easy thing to do, especially in what we always sort of, with a large brush, paint these economic times.
Right.
But it's kind of nice to know that that's going to be there.
Right, right. Yeah, we are able to pledge another year of merit increases the coming year. The 13-14, the budget dust has settled, and we know that we'll be able to afford a 2% merit pool, and it'll be our 10th consecutive year of merit pools, and that I believe is without precedent in the state of Texas among public universities. In any event, a number of universities have gone without merit raises for 2, 3, 4 years in a row. And I want every one of our listeners to understand this is not the result of a beneficent administration simply deciding to be generous. This is the result of hard work on the part of all of our faculty and staff. Because we have grown so dramatically over the last 3 years, everyone has had to roll up their sleeves and work harder. But on the business side of the equation, with growth comes resources.
Right.
And we want to make sure that those resources, that we reinvest those back in the people who are making a difference. And that's our faculty and our staff. Last year, we created a total of 30 new faculty lines, so we had a dramatic increase in the number of faculty. This year, it won't be quite so dramatic, but it will be substantial. We will have an additional 10 new faculty lines this fall. So we are in the process of sorting through the numbers and trying to determine exactly how to best allocate those to make sure that they go where they are the most needed.
How involved is the state? I know when they're talking about the budget, they're talking about all organizations, all institutions of higher learning. How involved are they in the idea that we have as many staff or as many faculty as we need in order to accommodate the students?
Well, there are certain benchmarks for this. There's no hard and fast rules. Our faculty-staff ratio was gradually, and in some cases not so gradually, inching up. We had gone from about 17-1 to about 22-1 in the space of 3 years. As a result of the hires that we made last year, we're headed back down, which is the right direction.
Right.
There's a point at which growth threatens quality if it's not properly managed. And we believe we've done a pretty good job of managing it. We've reinvested the resources both in our own faculty and in new faculty. So we're getting those student-faculty ratios kind of back in alignment. We compare very favorably. I was just looking at some numbers yesterday. In fact, our student-faculty ratio for fall 2012 was around 17-1. Some of our peers are as high as 23-1. Some of the flagships are at 24 or 25-1. So we have the right mix here. You know, we're still, even though we're growing so rapidly, we're a regional comprehensive university that still has kind of that small college liberal arts college kind of feel to right. it, where and that's a big selling point for us. That's a marker of quality.
And from time to time, whenever we have the opportunity to visit with our legislators when they happen to be at home here,
right.
they seem sold on
yes.
the idea too.
Yeah,
they seem to be in our corner.
Yes. Oh, we have a great legislative team. Representative Dan Flynn and Senator Bob Dole are real stalwarts. They are both diehard supporters of Texas A&M University Commerce, and both worked tirelessly this session to ensure that we get the resources that we need. And overall, as I said, it's been a good session. Funding for higher education overall was up about 8% this time, as opposed to down, I think it was $1 billion down this time, mm-hmm. This time 2 years ago.
Right.
This session, overall, it's up about 8%. Again, as a result of our growth, we've increased our market share, so we're getting a higher proportion of funding than institutions who grew more slowly or not at all.
We've heard a lot of talk recently, certainly the past few months and the past few years, about planning for growth, physical growth and change on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that growth may depend very much on tuition revenue bonds,
right?
Which I understand was a topic of discussion there
yes.
toward the end of the session.
Yeah, the tuition revenue bonds, which are known as TRBs.
Yeah, the old bonds. TRBs.
Right. And that's really kind of a misnomer. Because the funds to pay, these are construction bonds, basically. These are bonds that are sold to finance new construction, capital improvements on campus. And tuition revenue, future tuition revenue, is pledged to pay the bonds. That's the way the bonds are sold. But in fact, the legislature appropriates the debt service every time it meets. So they're not truly tuition revenue bonds, but that's a little bit of confusion that sometimes people get hung up on. The bottom line here is that there have been no new TRBs in the state since 2006. The last TRBs that were issued, and we got one of them for our music building, was, I think it was the third special session mm-hmm. of the, what would have been the 81st, I guess, mm-hmm. 80th mm-hmm. or 81st session. And that's it. So in the last 7 years, there have been no, while there has been new construction on campuses, the state has not reinvested in its higher education infrastructure. And there was a very good TRB bill that was working its way through the process. It was sponsored by Senator Zaffirini from South Texas, and it had about $2.4 billion worth of new construction in it. And virtually every university in the state would have benefited. We would have gotten a new library, somewhere in the range of $45 million. And things were looking really strong. The money was there. And unfortunately, politics, as often happens, got in the way.
Sure.
And there was some back and forth between the House and the Senate. One bill was $2.4 billion, the other was $2.7 billion. One contained funding for some projects that was not in the other. And quite frankly, what happened is the clock ran out before the differences could be ironed out. They were still working to get this bill through on Monday, the very last day of the session. And the session ended before all the differences could be reconciled.
It sounds like if both the House and the Senate have set aside, and you're talking about the minimum here is $2.4 billion, everybody
right.
seems to be in agreement that it needs to happen.
Absolutely.
And yet here the clock ran out and it didn't happen.
Right. And that's just one of those things that happens, you know, and the Texas legislature it was designed to be a citizen legislature that met infrequently.
Right.
And so they've got to cram a lot of work into 140 days. Now, the legislature adjourned. The 83rd session ended on Monday. The first special session started on Tuesday. And the governor calls the special session. He sets the agenda. The first thing on the agenda is redistricting. And as soon as that is settled, then he may add more items to the call. And I know that our legislative delegation, as well as others throughout the state, are pushing hard to get those TRBs back on the call for the special session.
Right.
So all hope is not yet gone on that. We still believe that, especially since the money is there and the need is so compelling, we think that this is going to happen. It's just one of these nail-biter situations.
Well, it does sound like it's a very long time between capital improvements for, you know, for institutions of higher learning throughout
yeah.
the state.
Well, you know, the last 7 years, when you think we can do to go 7 years without the state funding any new buildings. And, now we built dormitories, wellness centers, student centers, all those things have different funding mechanisms. So that kind of construction continued. But new classroom buildings, new research space, what they call E&G, educational and general buildings, none of that's been funded in 7 years in the state of Texas. And, things have changed a lot over the last 7 years, and there's been a tremendous growth statewide in university enrollments.
So, I don't think anybody, too, would argue, we don't need any more buildings. The buildings we got are just fine, and we're putting out enough graduates, and
right,
we're reaching enough goals educationally, and there's no reason to grow infrastructurally.
No, that's not. And there's the coordinating infrastructurally. I'm going to write that one down. That's a new adverb. The coordinating board has metrics for all of this stuff, and when you pour our enrollment numbers and our square footage into the little black box and crank, what comes out is we have a space deficit of about 100,000 square feet on this campus. So that's significant.
Right.
No one can say that these buildings are not needed. And, we're one of 38 public universities in the state. Everybody's in a little different situation, but everyone needs help on this one.
It sounds, though, that all things considered, the session ends well for higher education.
Absolutely. This has been a good session for higher education. Funding for some of the grant programs was restored. That helps out our students. As I said, funding overall has gone up. And we've got nothing to complain about. We just always want more. That's just the nature of the game, isn't it?
But if you had to guess the average age of an A&M Commerce student, could you? We'll talk about some of the factors you'd need to consider when the President's Perspective returns, only on your station, 88.9 KETR.